Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. With me today is a very special guest who has a very large dog. You heard him bark. We have the same dog, German Shepherd. Ryan Hartwig. He is the Facebook whistleblower who came out last year, I believe it was June 2020, came out with Project Veritas and blew the whistle on their censorship of conservatives. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Alan. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So what you did, I mean, I guess, you know, it took balls. I mean, you worked for a company that was contracted by Facebook, right, to do content moderation. You're doing your job, and then you see all kinds of weird things, and then you decide, hey, we got to blow the whistle here. So to take us into how you just came across this, what it's all about, go for it. The floor is yours.
Yeah. So I started working at so this goes back now almost 3 years. It's kind of hard to believe that I started working for Facebook almost 3 years ago. But
wow.
So yeah, March of 2018, I mean, before that job, I was working as a security guard. I worked as a security guard inside a furniture store, and I see this job for bilingual, like, social media content moderator. So it didn't even say Facebook. I didn't even know I was applying to work for Facebook. So I apply for this job, I interview, I get it, and finally after I get the job, they're like, oh yeah, you're working for Facebook. So it was kind of a surprise, kind of a shock. And did the training, and it was, so we were basically content censors. I mean, we'd review all the craziest crap on the internet. So all the violence, all the nudity, all the just unimaginable things.
You saw a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of crazy shit. I mean, beheadings, bestiality, cartel videos. We had to delete terrorist videos. So, like, you name it, like, I saw it.
And this is just stuff just out of the blue all over the world where somebody posts a video of someone getting beheaded. Like, oh, I'm just going to post this on my Facebook feed and see where it goes. And then people like you have to say, whoa, yeah, we can't have that. We got to delete it. That's how that works?
Yeah. And we would have, like, training decks where, you know, Facebook would say, hey, these are all the terrorist organizations, or here's all the hate groups in the U.S., like, you know, League of the South and Gavin McInnes or Tommy Robinson, hey, you have to make sure you delete all these people. So it was really fascinating because, and we saw a lot of news content and politics, but it was fascinating because it was, I'm kind of a news junkie to begin with. So I got to see all the current events, and you had to know all the, who people were. You had to be able to recognize, you know, politicians and sure, different people. So it was always evolving, always changing, kind of a fun job in that regard. And the age group, it was mainly like people in their early 20s, to be honest, like young people. And it's funny because I always tell people, like, yeah, once you get past, like, all the, you know, the porn and the beheadings, like, it's a pretty cushy job.
How was your Monday? Well, I had three beheadings and an orgy, but otherwise it was pretty uneventful.
Yeah. And I mean, we had counselors on site, and so we could leave our desk anytime we wanted and go talk to like an on-site licensed counselor. So they took it pretty seriously. And, you know, I had coworkers but it was just like, as far as, you know, jobs go, I mean, imagine being at work. I'm sure it was a nightmare for HR, because imagine being at work and be like, hey, that's Melania Trump naked. Is there any penetration on, you know, Melania Trump with that lady next to her? Like, just... Or, you know, you're looking at an image and you're asking your coworker for help. Hey, I can't tell on this male underwear model. Is that erection fully erect, straight, or is it curved? Like, we would have those kinds of conversations, like, just weird, weird conversations. So there's a culture there. And when I started, I was on the Spanish side. So I was working with Latinos. I was the only gringo who spoke Spanish fluently. And so I was the token gringo. So that was kind of fun. So I was on the Spanish side.
I bet the girls probably liked you.
They're nice, and everyone's the culture's nice. I was fairly popular on that side. So I was there for like the first year and a half, and then or first year or so, And I transferred to the North American side, so different culture. And just, yeah, just to give you an idea, like I would be sitting there in front of the screen, a job would pop up, you know, maybe someone reported like a bullying comment, like someone called someone a jerk, and it got reported by, you know, so Tom calls Susan the jerk, and Susan yep. reports it. And so it shows up on my screen, and I have to read the policy, Facebook's internal policy documents, and make a determination. So it's like, it's crazy because you've got this real world of like seeing all this crazy content, but at the same time, you have to be like a freaking paralegal and like look through their document that's like 30,000 page policy and know exactly why it's violating, or else you get it wrong. So it's like this, there's like the brainy aspect to it, and then there's like the shock value of like you're seeing all this crazy shit.
Right, but then people must work pretty fast, because myself, I can speak for myself, I am a Facebook fugitive. I have a Facebook rap sheet like you wouldn't believe. Like when you look at it, all, and you have to keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I'm not posting offensive stuff. I go back and forth politically with people, and I'm not offensive. Like I'll get 30 days for telling someone, stay in your basement eating your Hot Pockets and leave the voting to the adults. And I'll get shot for 30 days. But sometimes it'll be on there for a couple hours. Other times, yeah. Boom, 3 minutes later, it's gone, and whatever the violation was.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't really see, like, we just handled it one at a time, so I wouldn't be able to see your rap sheet or, like, how many strikes you had. I didn't have access to that. Okay. But, you know, just as an example, what you said just now, stay in your basement, leave it to the adults, go eat your Hot Pockets. You know, at face value, from what you told me, that doesn't violate any of the bullying policies. Now, if you called someone a Hot Pocket, that violates, because you can't compare someone to an inanimate object. So, yeah.
You know, I don't understand, because, like, people call me an asshole on Facebook all the time, but I'm not going to hit the report button or anything, but, right. And you know, I guess maybe that's why those people aren't getting trouble. They're not getting reported. So what made, so you're working, you're working for this company that that's a crazy job. I can't imagine getting into my car at the end of the day, thinking about all the stuff that I read, thinking about all the stuff that I saw. I mean, just to write a book on that would be out of control and crazy. But what made you decide, like, all of a sudden in your head, you were like, whoa, you know, this isn't right now. Now it's getting a little crazy. It's getting a little political. We're maybe leaning to one side with the censorship, and I have to say something. Like, what clicked in your head? What made that happen?
Yeah, so that first year, like, clearly I didn't go into this with the intention of just, like, you know, exposing Facebook. I went in there because I needed a job. It was a decent paying job, good health insurance. So I'd been there like a year, and I'm like, I just subconsciously noticed a few examples of bias. I'm like, huh, that kind of jumped out at me. And so at that point, I wasn't even actively looking for like bias. I was just, you know, doing my job. And so these things jumped out at me. So in January, February of 2020, there was like a straight pride march in like Massachusetts. And Facebook was like, they gave us instructions. They're like, hey guys, we got the straight pride march going on. Make sure to look out for hate speech coming from the straight pride march. I'm like, what the hell? Like, okay, they're celebrating their sexuality just like the LGBT people do.
Right.
And the previous summer, Facebook said, hey, there's LGBT pride marches. It's okay to call straight white males filth for not supporting LGBT. So I'm like, on the one hand, they're totally, you know, protecting leftist, you know, LGBT people. And they're openly attacking like straight people. So I'm like, that's kind of weird. So there was that. And then there was a viral video of a Trump supporter being attacked in summer of 2018. And Facebook's like, hey, delete the video across the board. And, you know, to give you an idea, like we had about 30 seconds per job to review each job, each piece of content. So we're doing like 200 a day, multiply that by 1,000 people. Like we're talking about hundreds of thousands of posts, and that was just our company. So hundreds of thousands of posts being deleted. So if you've got a company that's clearly this biased, I mean, it makes a huge impact on public discourse. So that's kind of what prompted me to start documenting, and like I made a list of all the bias I saw. So I had about 19 examples. So in May of 2020, I'd been there about a year. I wrote a letter to a couple of senators, a couple of congressmen, and I didn't really hear back, or maybe I just didn't really want to wait. And so I started reaching out to journalists.
Right.
And that's when I got connected with Project Veritas.
The most dangerous journalist in the world, James O'Keefe. That he is a legend, and he's an amazing warrior. I mean, he doesn't stop, and he'll never stop. So you hooked up with Project Veritas, and then, boom, Wired for Sound, right?
Yeah. Then So I volunteered to film with him camera. So they sent me a camera, and I filmed for about from start to finish, maybe about 9 months total. So yeah, wow. And I never got caught.
Wow. Well, what kind of camera? Well, it was just like a hidden camera. No one just, it was just.
Yeah, I can't really go into detail on that.
No, but, no.
You can be creative and
very creative.
Imagine.
I have a pen camera, so I can imagine. Yeah, that's so. Then you compiled all this, and then that was it. It was time to blow the whistle. And I know that you got Congressman Gates out of Florida involved, right?
Yeah. So after I went public, I reached out to Congressman Gates. And I said, hey, I have all this is evidence. And so I submitted that to him. And he sent a criminal referral to the DOJ for Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And the reason for that is in April of 2018, coincidentally, a month after I started there, Zuckerberg testified to Congress that they do not censor political speech. And then here I am, you know, almost 2 years later. I
come oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they definitely do. And here's the hard evidence because I have the screenshots. Yeah. So that's what Gates was able to do. Yeah.
And what I don't understand is because he said to Congress, he testified to Congress that they don't censor political speech. And here you come who was being paid to censor political speech. And you have all of this documentation. Congressman Gates puts a criminal referral into the DOJ, and what happens? He lied to Congress. Right there, he lied to Congress. Lying to Congress is a felony. I mean, look at the Fauci Paul thing right now going on.
Yeah.
But nothing. Nothing is coming of it. Nothing has happened. And you know, do you think anything will ever happen?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, it's, you know, last year I watched a lot of the, you know, the congressional hearings. They always pull them in front of the hearings. And I think the American people are just tired of those. It's like, oh, another hearing. But what are they actually going to do about it? And what's crazy is like, you know, Cory Booker back in December, in one of the hearings, he openly asked, he was essentially insinuating for them to ban Trump. And guess what happened like a month later? They banned Trump. And so that's really important because that's exactly what Trump's lawsuit is about.
Yes.
Because Trump's lawsuit is, hey, the government's now instructing Facebook what to do.
And, so in essence, that makes social media that could make I guess, you know, listen, I'm not an attorney or a legal scholar, but that could maybe fall into now the government is using social media as a tool. So that could fall under completely, you know, different legal parameters. If I mean, you have Jen Psaki, basically, she's out there saying about how people should be banned for spreading misinformation on social media. But who's deciding what is misinformation? Who's deciding what the truth is? And why is the White House and the federal government trying to tell social media to censor people? It's communist China. Is Trump's lawsuit gonna, in the end, are we gonna get any stone solid case law? I mean, who knows? It's gonna be a class action suit, I imagine. People are jumping on board, signing up. But you know what? So right now, it's obvious that there are. The conservative censorship is just off the charts.
Yeah, it's off the charts. And like there's the Trump lawsuit, and like I think there's a better legal strategy, and I'll go into that in a second. But basically what you need to understand is like, yeah, so everyone's like, Facebook's a private company. Okay. But here's the perfect analogy to understand this whole situation. Okay. And just so you know, like I prefer not to use a publisher platform argument. Like people like to dumb it down, but like, the words publisher and platform are not even in the section 230. So it kind of steers people the wrong way. But okay, so if you go to McDonald's, right? And I used to be a security guard. So I would do this. I would take people out of stores. But if you go to McDonald's or a furniture store like I worked at, let's say you go to McDonald's and you're just like throwing a fit or fighting, the McDonald's employee is going to want to kick you out, right? So who are they going to call to kick you out of their store? You're on private property. They're going to call the authorities, right?
Right.
So who are the authorities? Right. The police. So they're going to call the police. So the police show up and then they can trespass you. So it's called a police trespass. Because I can say, security guard, if I'm working as a security guard at McDonald's, I can say, hey, you need to leave. Okay, you can leave. But it's not official until the authorities arrive and they do a police trespass. So in this current scenario, Facebook is McDonald's, but Facebook is currently acting as the police. Because who kicks you off? Who gives you the ban when you get kicked off Facebook? Facebook does. So they're like the judge, jury, executioner. They make the rules, which are essentially penal code. So Facebook's acting like a regulatory body, like a government agency. So they're making their own community standards and they're enforcing them. And these community standards are not, they don't fit, you know, the rules that the government has given for these kinds of agencies, government agencies. So they're not uniformly applied. There's no measurable bounds. So that's the best analogy I can think of is just, you know, McDonald's, hey, you're going to kick someone out of the McDonald's. You got to call the cops. Facebook's right. being McDonald's and the cops.
Yeah, there's like right, judge, jury, executioner, and it just somebody has to press that button to report or doesn't like what you say. And it's if it's anything right leaning, it's gone. You are possibly gone. They'll unpublish whatever. And
yeah.
I mean, look at all the people they banned from the platforms.
So Facebook is depriving you of your liberty and property because they're taking off your content and you can't talk about, you can't express yourself. So you're being deprived of your Fifth Amendment rights. So here's the better legal strategy that I think would work as well. So instead of suing Facebook and Twitter, sue the government itself because they're the ones that created this problem. They're the ones that delegated their authority that who knows if they have the authority to even delegate that, right? But they delegated this authority to these private companies through Section 230. So Jason Fick is a guy, FYK, Jason Fick, who's suing Facebook. His case went to the Supreme Court in January, wasn't heard by them. But his new legal strategy right now that he's working with is to sue the government under the Fifth Amendment for due process.
Right.
Yeah, you can check Jason Fick out, jasonfick.com. But I just talked to him yesterday, and I think it's a legit strategy. I've talked to some other civil rights attorneys about it. So those are some options. Trump's lawsuit, I think it's good. It rallies the people. But class actions are kind of hard to do. When you have like 100,000 people in a lawsuit, it's expensive and it's hard to do.
So if anything I post on Facebook, anything anybody posts on Facebook, it's 100% that you still own that content, or is there, is there a fine print somewhere that Facebook has, you know, exclusive rights to your content, and because you're accepting the user agreement, I'm sure that they have to have some built-in loopholes for that they could fight that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's a misconception about Section 230. So people are like, oh well, if you repeal Section 230, then everything will have to get censored. Well, not exactly true. So if Facebook didn't touch anything at all, then they really wouldn't be on the hook for like everything on their website. So if they said hands off everything, okay, they wouldn't be as liable. But yeah, I mean, as far as like the terms of service, I mean, you did sign those, and so maybe those terms of service are in and of themselves unconstitutional because they're using the authority from the Congress delegated to them. So all they have is civil liability protections. So if they restrict content that's lewd or lascivious, then we can't sue them, right? But, right. I really think, yeah, their terms of service kind of are unconstitutional because Congress didn't really have that authority to delegate in the first place.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, in this day and age, Facebook and Twitter have become the public square. So, I mean,
yes.
The internet's evolved so much. When you've got a third of the entire world population, like 3 billion people on your friggin' platform, I mean, that's the public square. I mean,
Yeah, you're basically the monopoly of social media. Even, you know, there are smaller platforms that are emerging. They really can't compete with Facebook, but it's an alternative for people to go and speak their mind and mm-hmm. and be free and uncensored, I guess. Before, because I know you wrote a book, it's actually hanging behind you. I wanted to just two things.
Yeah.
When you came out as a whistleblower and you did what you did and you became into the public domain, did you get severe negative backlash, like when you came out, like what happened to Ryan, like what happened to you?
Yeah, and we can go over time a little bit if we need to. So when I went public, it was very stressful just because I didn't know what would happen. I know when I did my first interview with like Alex Jones, like the day after, and I was super nervous.
I watched that interview actually. You did good. You did good. I watched it.
Thanks. As far as direct threats, I mean, I didn't get too much negative. I got some negative feedback from coworkers, but the problem is like, if the mainstream media had come out and like attacked me, it just would have given me more publicity, my story more publicity. Because honestly, I think the scale of my story of what I uncovered is at the same level of, or more, at least the same level as like Cambridge Analytica. You know, and CNN, yeah. They trotted out that Cambridge Analytica, they milked it for what it's worth. I mean, they milked it. They're like, oh yeah, Trump, he was doing markets research, researching keywords. Like who the hell doesn't do that? Like,
exactly. So,
that's why you understand, like I didn't get any mainstream, like some of these other whistleblowers, like the Richard Hopkins, the U.S. Postal Service whistleblower with President Firdaus, got like more mainstream, yes. Like New York Times was busting his chops. So, I will say that I got some nasty messages from coworkers. Like there was that one coworker who threatened to kill Trump. And then she was getting threats, I guess. So my coworker's like, oh, why'd you do that? She's getting threats now. I'm like, sorry, like don't threaten to kill the president. Maybe you won't get threats.
Right. And you did the right thing. You did the right thing. I mean, the censorship is wrong. In any case, it's wrong to censor the left. It's wrong to censor the right. Yeah. So, you know, it's got to be an even playing field. What do you see the future of social media? Do you have an idea in your head what social media might be 10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to return to the roots of the internet. Like the internet was created to not be regulated by some government.
Yeah.
So I think the bigger issue is, we have censorship, but the bigger issue is centralization. We need to decentralize. So blockchain is the way to go. I mean, like pocketnet.app is a good social media site that's blockchain based. Gab, I think, is doing a lot of good things, like Andrew Korba. So that's where I see the future. I mean, it sucks that we have to be fractioned like this and split up. And obviously you can be more effective on a platform that's bigger, but yeah, I see just a lot of, you know, being splintered up a little bit. Like every week there's a new platform like Getter or whatever.
Getter came out, the Trump, was he a Trump advisor? He came out. There's actually that right near locally to me, there's a couple. It's a speakyourmindhere.com is another one I signed up. They just started not too long ago. They got you almost 10,000 users and they're like conservative based. So yeah, I mean, they're out there and you know, you're out there advocating for free speech. You have the Hartwig Foundation for free speech. You have a website. I'm going to put everything in the show notes. And you published a book. It's coming out next month, right? So let's hear about
this book right here. Behind the Mask of Facebook. I started working on this book back in August, and it's really just the most detailed explanation of everything I uncovered. I mean, it's an analysis, and it's got a nice narrative as well. My co-writer is Kent Heckenlively. He co-authored Plague of Corruption with Judy Mikovits, the lady who worked with Dr. Fauci for many years. So, I mean, it just kind of describes, you know, what it's like working at Facebook, but I have more than 30 examples of bias, of, you know, concrete examples of screenshots. There's some photo inserts that actually show, you know, what I was seeing. And So it's oh, wow. it's a must read. If you want to learn like exactly what Facebook's doing behind the scenes and how to fight back against big tech, it's you got to read it.
Well, after the show, I'm going to go and pre-order it. And I saw it. It's on Amazon, right? It's pretty much everywhere you could buy books. Amazon yeah. specifically, I saw it. I'll put everything in the show notes for that. Well, listen, I know, Ryan, you got to go. And I thank you for joining me and speaking about the censorship of social media. You got to keep up the good fight. You got to keep getting the word out there. The book is great because that's coming out. And everyone will hopefully grab it and read it and really learn about the evils of Facebook, which really quick, not to rant. I mean, I have this love-hate relationship with Facebook. Facebook mm-hmm. is great as a tool. I use it yeah. for my businesses. I use it for the podcast. But unfortunately, it has that evil side and wants to censor people like me. But we just have to all stick together and stand up and fight against all this nonsense censorship. And I applaud you for what you did and blowing the whistle on it.
Yeah. No. Thanks so much, John, for having me on. This was a nice, like, informal conversation. Because, like, you know, after a year of doing interviews, like, because I've done a lot in the last year, you kind of get into the routine. So it's kind of nice to break out of the mold and kind of have a casual sit down. So.
I don't like to sit here. Let me ask you these five questions. No, let's just sit and bullshit and have a talk and about how evil Facebook is and everything else. That's how I roll. But anyway, yeah. Ryan, thank you very much. Ryan Hartwig, Facebook whistleblower, get his book, Behind the Mask of Facebook. It'll be the Amazon link will be in the show notes. Pre-order it. It comes out in August. Again, Ryan, thank you. Everybody, get the episodes, The Great Divide, 1776.com. As always, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.